First Samuel is full of quality, epic stories. And this morning, we're going to just think briefly about the leadership that God wants, and the leadership that God provides. First of all, God wants leadership that will put the Word of God above human reason and will act in faith that nothing can hinder the Lord from saving. So I want to just get straight into this. Time is short. First of all, in chapter 13, we have this story about putting human reason above the Word of God. Now, God has given us brains, and we're to use those brains. Obviously, we're to think. We're to think. We're to weigh things. We're to discern. We're to, you know, use the gifts of intellect that God has given us. Obviously, that is all true. But what we learn here in chapter 13 is that sometimes the Word of God will contradict what we naturally think, what we would naturally, you know, think of doing and believing. Sometimes the Word of God cuts across that. And what we see in chapter 13 is the tragedy of putting human reason above the Word of God. So we get this story of how the Philistine army were pressing in on King Saul and his troops. In verse 7, we read that the troops were quaking with fear. Real sense of doom among the ranks. Now, back in chapter 10, verse 8, Saul had been really clearly told to wait. Wait for Samuel. Okay, don't do anything until Samuel comes. He was to wait 7 days until Samuel would come to lead them in worship. He would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people, and he would tell them what to do. He's a prophet. Prophets tell the people what to do. So Saul waited. And then came the test of faith. He was now on day 7 of waiting. Still no sign of Samuel. What does he do? Militarily, things were getting more and more critical. His terrified men were beginning to scatter. They were deserting him. What was he to do? For all he knew, the Philistines were nearly upon him. His army was evaporating, and everything in his mind, everything in his human reason, was saying, it's time to act. I can't wait for Samuel. I can't wait for the prophet. I can't wait for the Word of God. It's time to act. Everything in his mind, everything in his human reason was telling him that's what he had to do. And it's not hard to sympathize with Saul here, is it? I mean, if you and I were in his shoes, if we had been in his shoes, we would have probably done nothing different to him. This is what he did. He decided that he himself would make the sacrificial offering that Samuel was meant to do. He must have seen the burnt offering as an essential ritual that would bring God's favor. That's how he explains himself in verse 12. But as for waiting for the prophetic word, I mean, Samuel said, you need to wait for me to tell you what to do. As for waiting for that prophetic word from Samuel, there was no time. Saul felt he could not wait for the word of God. I mean, it was an emergency, you know. He reckoned that he was better off trusting his own human reason than waiting upon the word of God. Now, you can see the human logic at work, you know. Like I said, would we have done anything different? We likely would have done the same thing as Saul. But is that the kind of king that God's people needed? One who would put his own human reason above the word of God? As much as we might feel for Saul, because, you know, you read it and you think, oh, you know, we feel for him, we're sympathetic to him. As much as that may be so, this was a really, really serious issue. And all the more so because he was the king. You can't have a king in the place of God who's acting according to his own human reason rather than waiting for the word of God. Samuel came, as he had promised. Saul tried to justify himself. And then Samuel pronounced the divine judgment that Saul's kingdom would not endure, verse 14. To make matters even worse, then, Samuel left Saul, verse 15. Having failed to wait for the word of God, he was now going to have to deal with the Philistines without God's direction through Samuel. He was now on his own. And the chapter ends, we didn't read the last section in chapter 13, but it ends with Israel totally screwed. They look to be totally shafted. No defenses and no weapons. And in chapter 15, which we didn't read, Saul is actually is at it again. We don't have time to go into that story, but suffice to say, Saul picks and chooses which parts of God's word to obey. And that's always our temptation, isn't it? So let's just bring this up to date. It's hard, isn't it, to trust and obey God, to trust and obey his word. You know, when we're feeling the pressure, when our situation seems to demand a response from us that seems reasonable to us and to the world, and yet really it involves shelving the word of God, or at least part of it. Whether we are leaders or not, this is a real test for all of us. Because we know, don't we, that it will cost us big time to put the word of God above human reason. At school or at uni, you know fine well that you will be mocked and ridiculed for putting the word of God above human reason. I'm going to mention a few things now that are kind of a wee bit risky to mention, because in a crowd like this, it's likely to offend someone. But look, these are issues that are applicable and relevant to this issue of human reason and the word of God. Just mention briefly transgenderism. That's the big thing. Now it's coming down the tracks. When everyone is saying that you can choose a different gender according to how you think and feel, will we go with human reason, or will we go with the clear word of God, that God made us male and female in his own image to glorify him? We need to know the givenness of who we are. Or, when everyone says that it's well and good to be sexually active before marriage, and in your head you're thinking, why not? Will we go with human reason, or will we go with the clear word of God, that he created sex to be enjoyed only within the marriage bond of husband and wife? Or, when everyone says that marriage can be two men together or two women together, and your reason says, well, hey, they love each other, will we go with human reason, or will we go with the clear word of God? That whatever human relationships people freely enter into, and whatever human laws are made according to human reason, marriage is an institution given by God, not a project fashioned by culture. Some of you are liable to be offended by that today. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just trying to show that there will be times, perhaps many times, when we have to choose between following our own human reason or following the word of God. And of course, if the Bible contradicts our own reason at various points, bear in mind that that is not a sign of it being untrue. It would be very, very suspicious indeed, wouldn't it, if the Bible never contradicted our thinking at any point? Wouldn't that be suspicious? I mean, could we really call it the Word of God if it just so happens to agree with everything that we already believe? That would be more than a wee bit suspicious, wouldn't it? Of course, the Word of God, if it is the Word of God, it is going to contradict our human reason at various points. Of course it is. And actually, if you think about it, how could we ever have a personal relationship with God if we never allowed him to contradict us? There's a movie called The Stepford Wives, based on a novel in which the husbands of Stepford, Connecticut, decide to have their wives turned into robots. Tim Keller gives this illustration in his book, Reason for God. Anyway, being robots, the wives never ever cross the wills of their husbands. They always do exactly what their husbands want. Now, to some men, that may be the dream. But, of course, you cannot have an intimate, personal relationship with a robot. Keller says, what happens, bringing it, you know, up to date, what happens if you eliminate anything from the Bible that offends your sensibility and crosses your will. If you pick and choose, you know, what you want to believe and reject the rest, how will you ever have a God who can contradict you? You won't. Instead, you will have a Stepford God. A God essentially of your own making, and not a God with whom you can have a relationship and genuine interaction. Only if your God can say things that outrage you and make you struggle, as in a real friendship or marriage, only then will you know that you've got hold of a real God and not a figment of your imagination. So will we put the Word of God above our own human reason or the majority viewpoint, whatever that may be? Rest assured that if we do, there will be times when we are despised, absolutely despised, as bigots. And in those moments, our own reason will tell us to take the easy option, to stay silent, or to agree with what everyone else thinks. Don't do it. Hold fast to the Word of God, whatever the cost. We fall short, though, don't we? We're all like Saul. Have we any hope? Have we any hope of ever fully trusting and obeying God? Thankfully, we have good news. God has not only showed us the leadership he wants, God has actually provided us with the leadership we so desperately need. And he's done that by giving us Jesus. We've thought about that already this morning in our baptism. Think for a moment about how Jesus always put the Word of God above human reason. Remember when he was tempted by Satan in the desert? His human reason would have told him to obey Satan. Just turn these stones into bread and your hunger will be satisfied, Satan told him. You haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Just turn these stones into bread and you'll be filled. That made a whole lot of sense. I mean, humanly speaking, that made a whole lot of sense. He could do it. Why suffer and die? He could avoid all that pain and trauma of the cross. He could win the world by satisfying its hunger. What did Jesus say? He quoted from the Word of God, and he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He would not be diverted from his mission. He had come to suffer and die for you and me so that we could be forgiven forever. And with that in mind, he learned obedience in the desert. He learned to put the Word of God above human reason. And that's good news for you and me, because if he had not learned obedience, if he had not learned to put the Word of God above human reason, then he never would have gone through with the cross, would he? Picture him in the Garden of Gethsemane, overwhelmed with sorrow as he contemplates the cross ahead of him. He falls to the ground and he prays, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me." You know, on a human level, as he faced the agony of the cross, it seemed crazy for an innocent man to bear the wrath of God's, to bear the cup of God's wrath. But as he pours out his heart to his Father, he nevertheless cries, "Not my will, but your will be done. May your will be done, Father." We would have no Savior if Jesus had not learned in the desert the discipline of putting the Word of God above human reason. So trust him. Trust him. This is what gives me the strength to put the Word of God above human reason, whatever the cost. It's when I see what he did for me. And this is what gives me hope. You know, I know, we know, don't we? That Jesus, because Jesus died for us and rose again, he not only forgives, but he also transforms. One day, whenever Jesus comes back, you and I who belong to Jesus will be transformed into his likeness, and we will spend eternity fully trusting and obeying and enjoying God without compromise. I can't wait for that, because I'm so screwed up, and I look forward to the day when God finally makes me like Jesus. That's our future, thanks to what he has done in our place for our sake. You know, I really want to do the next bit because it's class, but we're going to be here for ages. So maybe I should just stop there. I'll do it in Hoth. And if you want to hear it, come to Hoth, because of a wee bit more time there. The next story is, I just think it is amazing. We read it in chapter 14, the story of Jonathan, Saul's son, taking an extraordinary risk of faith, confident that nothing can hinder the Lord from saving. I really want to talk about that. time's just left us this morning. But let's celebrate today that God not only shows us the leadership he wants, he also provides the leadership we so desperately need in Jesus Christ. May God give us the grace to trust him, whatever the cost.